Another Democrat is officially jumping into the governor's race in Wisconsin. It's Monday, September 15th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, the new director of the Milwaukee Art Museum shares her vision on how the arts can unite people, and a look at how monarch butterflies are fading in Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Wisconsin State Senator Kel DeRoyes has officially launched a bid for governor. As Anya Van Wagtendonk reports, she joins a growing Democratic primary.
Royce was elected to the Senate in 2020 and also served two terms in the Assembly. She told WPR that two goals are motivating her campaign.
Number one, we have to have a leader who will protect Wisconsinites against the attacks from the Republican regime in Washington.
The other is to build on expected Democratic wins in the legislature to achieve goals like increased school funding and lowered health care and child care costs. Royce joins Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley in what could become a crowded Democratic race to replace Governor Tony Evers. New Berlin businessman Bill Berrien and Washington County Executive Josh Schoeman are running as Republicans. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Missy Hughes will resign from her position leading the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation later this week. Governor Tony Evers' office made the announcement late last week. Hughes has served as the agency's secretary and CEO since being appointed by Evers in 2019. During Hughes' time leading the agency, the governor's office says WEDC worked with companies to secure more than $8 billion in planned investment. In a statement, Evers said Hughes, quote, played an important role in his administration's work to invest in Wisconsin workers and communities. Evers plans to announce her replacement in the coming weeks. Hughes is also among the Democrats said to be considering a run for governor. Last June, Kim Sayet stepped down as director of the Smithsonian Institution's National Portrait Gallery. Now, Sayet will run the Milwaukee Art Museum. Sayet left the Smithsonian after President Donald Trump claimed to have fired her. The Smithsonian maintained the president did not have that authority. After leaving the spotlight and politics in Washington, D.C., Sayet told WPR she believes the museums can unite the public during a, quote, age of fragmentation.
You can come together. You can meet somebody who you may not normally meet, have an experience that you may not normally have, but also put your device away.
Sayet steps into her role as director of Wisconsin's largest art museum 1 week from today, that being next Monday. More than 1.8 billion gallons of water have been treated to remove PFAS coming from a Marinette manufacturer of firefighting foam. As Danielle Kading reports, the Department of Natural Resources held a listening session late last week on efforts to address the chemicals there.
The DNR said progress has been made to reduce PFAS coming from Tyco Fire Products' fire training facility in Marinette. Tyco has been treating water in nearby creeks and groundwater at its facility. PFAS levels in treated water are thousands of times less than they once were, but Marinette City Council member Doug Oitzinger says treatment won't eliminate the chemicals from groundwater completely.
It's not returning the groundwater to what it was before it got contaminated.
Tyco says it's drilled new deep wells for around 130 residents and invested $100 million on cleanup. Even so, residents voiced frustration with PFAS legislation that they say lets corporate polluters off the hook. Governor Tony Evers and Republican lawmakers have been at odds over bills to address PFAS. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, how monarch butterflies are faring as they prepare to migrate thousands of miles back to Mexico. Stay with us.
Thank you to the donors who make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. There are more than 50,000 of you. Your generosity delivers essential news, thought-provoking conversations, and inspiring music to listeners all over Wisconsin and beyond. Your support makes a difference in people's lives every day. Thank you.
And finally, monarch butterflies are nearing the end of their season in Wisconsin. Soon, they'll migrate 3,000 miles to the forests of Mexico. After nearly reaching an all-time low, this year the butterflies are on somewhat of a resurgence. Karen Oberhauser co-founded the Monarch Larva Monitoring Project based out of Madison. She recently spoke with host Kate Archer Kent on WPR's Wisconsin Today about how the butterflies are faring this year.
Monarch butterflies are in this annual migration cycle. Where are they now in their fall migration?
Well, at this point, they're spread from the northern bounds of their breeding range, which is a little bit north of us. And the ones that left earliest are about to the middle of the country right now. And we can track this migration on great maps put out by a program called Journey North. So I actually just looked at those maps and I see some monarchs are showing up now in roosting sites way down in Kansas and even a little bit further south right now.
I can't imagine how exhausting this journey must be to Mexico. How do they survive it?
They have built up fat stores in their bodies as caterpillars. So it's really important. Their nutrition is caterpillars. And what they eat in their milkweed plants, they use to grow and develop, but they also store fat. They produce fat that they store in their bodies as caterpillars. And then as they're migrating, they're drinking a lot of nectar. So they're actually a little bit heavier when they arrive in the southern part of the United States than they were when they were leaving up here. But another thing that they do is they fly really smartly. If you watch a monarch migrating, they spend most of their time soaring instead of using powered flight. So if you think of powered flight as like a bird flapping its wings really hard, and soaring is when they're just moving through the air without flapping their wings, which uses a lot less energy. So these monarchs, as they're migrating south, are taking advantage of air currents and just soaring as much as they can during this flight to save energy.
That is smart. And they nearly hit an all-time low in the 2023-2024 season, and that's according to the World Wildlife Fund data. What has happened to them?
Well, a lot of things are happening to monarchs. It's a lot of, like a lot of other species, they're suffering a lot of inputs that are causing their populations to get smaller. The biggest one for monarchs we know is habitat loss, mostly breeding habitat loss. So there just isn't as much habitat as available to them as there used to be. But they also are impacted by insecticide use, both agricultural insecticides and insecticides that people use in their yards. Most insecticides are broad spectrum, which means that they kill everything, not just the target insects. So there's habitat loss, there's pesticide use, and climate is another big factor. Because monarchs are cold-blooded, they're completely dependent on the weather. And if it's too hot and dry, it's not good for their milkweed plants, and the monarchs live shorter lives when it's hot. So the population is lower in a hot, dry summer. But on the other hand, if it's too cold and wet, they do well. So they're kind of like Goldilocks. They like it not too hot and not too cold, but just perfect in the middle.
How much impact might butterfly gardens or native plantings have on monarch survival?
That's a great question. And because we know that monarch, the decline in monarch numbers is driven by habitat loss, and we also know that monarchs can use very small habitats. It's not like a wolf or something that needs huge areas of land in order to live and survive. But monarchs really can come into somebody's garden that might only have a few flowers and 10 milkweed plants and lay eggs on those milkweed plants, and the eggs can develop up into adult butterflies. So adding as much habitat as we can in any kind of space will benefit monarchs. And if we have lots and lots of tiny gardens, it can add up to a huge habitat.
Karen, thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure.
You can find the full interview with Monarch Larva Monitoring Project co-founder Karen Oberhauser at wpr.org/Wisconsin today. And of course, a quick check of your forecast before letting you go for the day. Some fog in far northern and eastern parts of the state to start this morning. Things clearing throughout the day with a mix of sunshine and clouds and highs in the 70s and 80s today. A slight chance we could see some rain in far western Wisconsin at times. Mostly cloudy overnight, but no rain expected, with lows down into the 50s and 60s. And that'll do it for this Monday. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. Don't forget to leave us that rating and review wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. It helps other people find the show, and it helps us know what we could be doing better. Have a great rest of your day. We'll talk to you again soon.